be on the inside?
We've got you covered.
It's the Binsiders. Joining Jesse on today's show, it's Keith Sims, who sees the team returning to their winning ways in the near future.
Dolphins will win a game very, very soon. That's my guarantee, even if I have to strap on a helmet for a play and try to make it happen.
Rounding out the crew, it's Troy Drayton, recently upset with show producers about the lack of Gatorade available before the show.
And I will choke Cope after this is over.
There you go.
It's a bit extreme.
No, it isn't. It's not extreme.
You know, those offensive tackles, they're aggressive.
Wow.
Oh, my bad.
And all the time I thought he was a guard.
Also, Tristan Jones is hanging out with the fans in the live chat, although she might attempt to rename the group.
Dolphins chatters help each other get better anonymous type of situation.
Very good. You know, he rolls right off
basically
the top.
It's the Binsiders.
Welcome to the show. Keith Sims is here. Troy Drayton is here. Offensive line day on the Binsiders, as it has been much of the season.
Just offensive side of the ball.
Okay, all right. Sometimes you can't help yourself. You just say something and it comes right out. It's a busy, busy Wednesday here at Dolphins camp. The team practicing right now, probably coming off the practice field in the next couple of minutes. And we'll bring you some live press conference action on this Wednesday. Both Joe Philbin and Ryan Tannehill scheduled to address the media. We will take you to the interview room next door where those press conferences are taking place. We'll hear from that. And here's everything else we got coming up on today's show, guys. You ready? We'll do the live coverage of the press conferences. We'll have Olivier Vernon live in studio, the great young defensive end for the Miami Dolphins. And on top of all of that, we'll take you inside the Dolphin locker room, and we'll hear from Richie Incognito. We'll hear from Jonathan Martin, and we'll hear from Cameron Wake. So that's what's coming up on today's show. We will also, of course, throughout the 2 hours, check in with Tristan. We will take your text messages at 347-347 and your phone calls at 1-855-GO-FINS. In hour number two, go kind of behind enemy lines a little bit, try and get some more intel on the New England Patriots. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe is going to join us. We'll also hear from the head coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick. That's what's coming up. Practice today. Here you go. A little chicanery, a little gamesmanship. What do you think? Yesterday, you know, we were in practice. The media was for, you know, our 20 minutes, whatever it is that we're allowed to be in there. You know, we got to see some 11-on-11. Okay, Martin was working at left tackle. Claybo was working at right tackle. But then in individual drills, we sort of saw that Martin was working at right tackle. Today, when the media was in there, no 11-on-11 action whatsoever. I think it's the first time this season. So, Keith, I get the feeling that maybe the element of surprise could be in play this week.
Hey, that means it must be Patriots week. This game is so important. And you don't want to give a team, and particularly Coach Bill Belichick, any indication of what he may or may not be facing. The guy knows how to prepare his team and put together game plans to try to take advantage of teams' weaknesses. So I don't think the Dolphins coach Philbin wanted to give Bill Belichick anything. Give him as much to think about as possible. Let him prepare for every case scenario instead of focusing in or narrowing down on what maybe the Dolphins are trying to do.
No, I think you're right, Keith. And, you know, again, it's one of those things where you just want to keep things under wrap and you don't want to give any indication of what's going on. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're in there, you have a tendency to say things and they can take it, you know, that coaching staff will take it to the nth degree. So you don't want to give them anything. You want to give them as little as possible. And like you said, you want them to prepare for everything and try to, you know, probably try to overdo it in a sense. But, you know, they know exactly how to prepare for this Miami Dolphin team. I mean, they've been going against this team for a long time, and they know that it's going to be a very physical football game.
Genuine question here, Keith. Mm-hmm. How much would it really change the preparation of the New England Patriot defense if it was one guy versus the other or the other way around? I mean, would it really change that much for them during the week? What would it change, I guess?
Well, I think what it does is it just narrows your scope of what film you watch. If you knew for sure that Brian McKinney was going to be the starting left tackle and I'm on the defensive end facing him, then I'm going down and breaking down all his cut-ups, third down, first down, what he likes to do against run and pass, trying to get tips on his stance. Does he tip it if it's run or pass? Does he tip it if it's a sprint out or a three-step drop? So it allows the player to really focus in and hone on who he's facing that one-on-one battle. As far as the team's concerned, I don't think it makes a difference because injuries always happen. But I can tell you this. When you're an offensive lineman, you're scouting the top four or five defensive linemen. If you're a defensive lineman, you're usually scouting the two guys you face, not the whole entire offensive line.
Makes sense. We'll talk more about that. Let's go next door to the interview room. Joe Philbin has stepped to the podium to speak with the media.
You know, I guess normal Wednesday, so to speak, that we've had since the Atlanta week, since we
The week after that was a Monday night game, and then a short week, and then a bye week. So we kind of got back under normal conditions. I thought we had a good practice. And, you know, take it from there.
How did day two now with Bryant McKinney, how did he look to you out there today?
Wet.
Mountain of a man, yeah. Wet.
He doesn't need any extra, you know, volume on him. No, he did some good. He did some good things. I mean, you know, it's I haven't seen the tape yet, but you know, he was out there moving around. He did okay.
Why stay outside in that?
Well, a couple reasons. I mean, number one, we have expert weather predictors around here. We talked about the likelihood of the weather coming, and so we're still 100% on that. We haven't, you know, got that right yet. But no, you know, we're going to play in rain at some point in time. I don't know exactly when. And there was no lightning out there, and I think it's good for us to get used to functioning and handling a ball, a wet ball. Something we've simulated that. But most of the time down here, as you guys know, it's lightning is associated with those kind of rains, and so we always head inside. So it was good. Plus, you can't get too soft. You know, you can't. You know, a lot of teams don't have a bubble, and you got to just practice, like Coach Shula used to do. You know what I mean? See?
Did you guys crank down the AC in the bubble today?
What's that?
Did you crank down the AC?
Yeah, we did actually.
How low was it?
I believe it was in the 60s.
Coach, playing in the elements, I mean, conversely, that could hurt also if you don't spend enough time outside for some of these guys, you know, because of the heat here. You find that because you have a bubble sometimes you don't even think about that?
Well, we try to be smart when in our utilization of the bubble, and it's great because have a bubble because they can keep you on schedule. You know, I know I can schedule a practice, and we're going to get it in regardless of what happens. But I do think sometimes it's a little too convenient, and you just jump inside there, and you don't, like you say, get out there with the elements at times. And that's why it was good today. It was kind of like, you know, grade school when you played in eighth grade, and there was no place to go. You just stayed out there and sloshed around. So it was good.
Is there anything tough about playing in Foxborough, or is it any time, any place you play the Patriots, it's tough?
Well, they have an excellent track record at Gillette Stadium. It's well documented, I think. They play very well at home. Their point differential, I believe, and since 2002, is the best in football at their home stadium. And so they play very, very well up there. And, you know, we told the team we're going to have to play our best game of the year. I mean, we were very upfront about it. I want to say since 2010, they're 24-3 potentially at home, as my understanding. And so that's almost 90%. So they play exceptionally well there. And so we have to know that going in. And we're going to have to play an outstanding game.
What is it about Tom Brady specifically? 14 years in the league now, obviously he's done it very well. But young group of receivers, and it still seems like now in week seven he's kind of found a little bit of a chemistry to try to prepare for a guy like that. That's the biggest challenge.
Well, a lot of the things that I believe in the quarterback position, he does very, very well. He's it looks like to me an excellent decision maker, very accurate passer, and he makes plays at critical times in a game. And those are some things I think, in my opinion, are universal traits of a very, very good quarterback. And he's done that, as you mentioned, on a consistent basis for a very long time.
Chris Clemens obviously splashed this past week with the interception, but I mean, overall, over the last six games, he's actually played at a very high level, at least in my eyes. So you see the same, and is this kind of what you were expecting when you brought him back?
He's very solid at him. You know what I mean? Sometimes there may be flashier players around somewhere, but he consistently does his job well. He's a good tackler. He understands his role in the defense. And he's a dependable guy. He's an available player. He practices every day, and he always shows up. And he's doing well.
Joe, you guys have, I guess, tweaked the kickoff return, like the first one last week. Nate Garner and Will Yateman weren't out there, and then they were. Just a different look, or were you looking for something, you know, something out of that? What was the thinking there?
Yeah, well, Riz and Marwan do it. They do a great job in terms of game planning, and so, you know, we may carry X amount of returns in a particular ball game, and it's just utilization of personnel. Sometimes it has more to do, Chris, with the personnel of the other team. You know, are they playing more fast guys? Are they playing bigger guys? And so those are all factors that they take into consideration when they put together the plan.
Tom Brady's completion percentage is down. His yards per attempt are down. These are both career lows for him. And the third down conversion, I believe they're fourth worst in the league. Is it the weaponry? What's going on with New England's offense that sort of has him off his game?
I'm not buying any of it.
I'm not buying any of it. So, you know, this guy is one of the best ever. And, you know, they're playing well. And we have to expect them to play extremely well at home. They do. They're 3-0 at home. And so, yeah, he's pretty good.
Typically, when you prepare for their defense, Vince Wilfork is obviously a big force for them in the middle, and that he's gone for the season. How does that alter or change their look and how you can attack that defense?
Well, they're very flexible. They have a multiple package. They do an excellent job coaching there. So within their scheme, they utilize their people in different combinations. They have a lot of young players that are playing and contributing and doing a nice job and developing. So obviously Vince Wilfork's an exceptional football player. But, you know, nobody's immune to injuries in the National Football League, and they've adjusted very well. And their defense is playing well. Their scoring defense is exceptional.
All right, good chunk there of Joe Philbin's press conference next door in the interview room. How about a little weather talk to start things off from the coach? It's a thing that I know fans really enjoy discussing and talking about, the practicing inside versus practicing outside. And you heard what Coach Philbin said, and anybody who's lived down here for any amount of time, they know it. Usually when it rains here, it's lightning. And you just get those big storms. They don't last very long. They kind of come through. And obviously, for safety reasons, you can't practice outside when there is lightning. But today, kind of a good downpour without lightning. And so he kept them outside, and they did a little wet ball drill type of action. And then he admitted to it. I think we've all sort of hypothesized about it before, that they do control the temperature in the bubble sort of based upon, you know, what you're doing. And if you don't know, they start every practice in the bubble, and then they move outside. So today I noticed it right away. Went in the bubble at the beginning. I was like, ooh, it's extra cold in here. And I think it was Andrew Abramson of the Palm Beach Post who brought it up. And he said, yeah, we turned it down into the 60s today because I guess you're getting ready to play a cold weather game on Sunday.
That's still nice temperature for football. That's perfect football weather. I'll always take a 60-degree day over what we had the other day, about 103 on the field, is an advantage, and they've got to get used to it. And the bubble is a tool in training. And you're right. I know a lot of fans think that because we didn't have the bubble back then, maybe the players are a little soft. But, hey, it's a training tool down here in South Florida. Like you said, it rains a lot. You got to get your work in.
All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have some combination of Olivier Vernon and Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill's scheduled to do his press conference next door. Vernon's scheduled to join us in studio. Halloween night, the Dolphins are taking on the Bengals. And the scariest thing would be missing all the live action as Thursday Night Football takes over Sun Life Stadium. Get your tickets now at Dolphins.com. Take a break. When we come back, Ryan Tannehill press conference and Olivier Vernon in studio. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
Now, back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Welcome back to the show with former Dolphins Troy Drayden and Keith Sims. I'm Jesse Agler. Olivier Vernon going to join us live in studio coming up in a few minutes. Also, Ryan Tannehill will do his weekly press conference next door in the interview room. We'll carry some of that for you live coming up in the next little bit as well. We're taking your text messages at 347-347 and your phone calls at 1-855-GO-FINS. We heard from Joe Philbin just a few moments ago as he did his daily meet and greet with the media. Talked a little bit about the weather, but Troy, he also came out and said it. He said, we're going to have to play our best game of the year to win on Sunday in New England. And I think that's a statement everybody can get behind because the Dolphins did not play well last week against Buffalo. Nearly won the game, but that's not the kind of approach I think you can take on the road against Tom Brady and the Patriots.
No, when you look at, you know, what Tom Brady and the New England Patriots bring to the table, you know, they're one of the better football teams in the National Football League. And despite the fact that they lost a few in a row, you can never count those guys out. And I think when you're going up to New England, you can never afford to play any type of bad football, number one. But more importantly, I think you have to be able to go out and play your best football game, because you want to play your best on offense, defense, and special teams. And you can't afford to make any mistakes in New England, because they're the type of team that capitalize on those things.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that and everything else. Olivier Vernon joining us now live in studio, the Dolphin defensive end in his second year out of the University of Miami. OV, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. How was practice in the rain today? How about that?
Very wet, man.
It's a good word. That's a good way to describe it, I guess. That's the big thing everybody wants to talk about, is that they practiced outside in the rain. But obviously you're getting ready for a very good football team. You're getting ready for a very good offense. They get Gronkowski back last week. Brady targets him, I think, 64 times in the game, I think it was.
65, I think.
65, yeah. Okay.
It's another ball.
He targeted him a lot last year. What have we seen from this year's Patriots on film? Because I think to a lot of people on the outside, at least, they look a little bit different now after losing some pieces, I guess.
Yeah, you know, they lost a lot of guys in the offseason. But, you know, they're still winning big games. And they're still, you know, beating guys with different personnel matchups. And, you know, they still got a big target. Gronkowski, he's back. And like you said, you know, he was hit a lot of times. So that's one guy we know, you know, is going to be his main target coming into this game up in New England. So, you know, we just got to, you know, match up well against these guys and, you know, play well.
Olivier, this will be your third time facing the Patriots, second time going up to Gillette Stadium up there. Last time you guys went up there, last game of last year, it didn't go very well. But this seems to be a completely different Patriots ball club, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. When you look at them on offense, where do you think they're vulnerable and you guys can attack them with what may be the number one asset on this team, the defensive line?
I would say, you know, just putting a lot of pressure on Tom Brady. You know, just throwing him off his game. You know, seeing the previous games, a lot of guys, you know, getting pressure on them. You know, they've given up 20 sacks this season. So, you know, as long as we can put pressure on Tom Brady and, you know, force him into making error throws, you know, it's going to put our defense in good position and our offense as well.
OV, I know you were surprised at the fact that you're leading the Miami Dolphins in sacks, but what is the difference between last year's OV and this year's OV? I know last year's OV was a pass rush specialist, but what is the difference between the two players?
You know, I would just say my technique. That's one thing I was working on last year, you know, and bringing my technique into the games. You know, learning from the guys, you know, Cam Wade, Paul Soley, Randy Starrs, J.O., you know, them guys, just looking at them practice and, you know, looking at their technique, you know, the fundamentals. And, you know, that's just helped me grow a lot more and just trying to get better.
Are you at the point yet, and Olivier Vernon is here, where you're now helping out some of the younger guys, because you get Dion coming in this year, you and Shelby kind of going through everything together. Are you at all part of the leadership group yet, you know, as far as helping out some of the other guys?
I'm pretty much trying to – I'll tell Dion, you know, the things that I had to learn my first year, you know, just shed him some of the knowledge that I gained my first year, and just continue to grow. And, you know, he's coming along really well. He's making big plays out there. So, you know, the whole D-line, we just got to, you know, make things happen this weekend.
Oh, but you're in a unique position where a few weeks ago you were scouting a guy and facing him and having to try to figure out how to defeat him, and now he's in your locker room. I'm talking about Brian McKinney. What kind of what does he bring to the table, and how can he help this offensive line, in your opinion?
He's a big guy. You know, we're just looking at – we're just sizing up the whole O-line, and, he makes Richie Incognito look like a little kid
like
out
Rubble,
there.
Huh?
Yeah, so, great addition to the O-line. You know, pretty much, hey, if the coaches see that he can help the team out, man, it's a plus. So, you know, kudos.
Does that make it more difficult if you were going to face – you were in that situation. They brought in Eugene Monroe, and you weren't sure who you were going to face, Brian or Eugene. Did it make your preparation for that week leading up to that game more difficult, or did it change anything for you whatsoever?
Nah, not really. I mean, I faced Monroe back in preseason when we played the Jaguars. So, I wouldn't say it was difficult in any way.
Yeah, Ovi, one thing about it is – I know you guys are coming off a bye and you're coming off a Buffalo loss, but how important is it to get some of your guys back healthy, you know, starting with Demetrius Patterson and Cam Wake? We know he's still bothered by that knee a little bit, but day to day he seems to be getting back to the old Cam. So how important is it to get all of your guys back healthy for this this later part of the season for this run?
You know, it's really important. You know, we got a lot of division games up now. And, you know, those are must-win games. And, you know, the better, you know, we have our defense and our offense healthy and, you know, all our guys and all centers, you know, the better as a team we're going to be. So it'll be really important.
Olivier Vernon is here. Some fan questions coming in from the live chat at Dolphins.com. Rob wants to know if the guys in the locker room are looking at this as a must-win game on Sunday against the New England Patriots.
You know, we look at every game as a must-win game, you know, when we step out on that field on Sunday. So we're just treating it like every other game that we've been treating it so on since the beginning of the season, since the Cleveland game.
All right, here's another one. It comes from FinFan71. He wants to talk about the rotation on the defensive line, guys coming in, guys coming out. And he wants to know, you know, how is it, you know, kind of versus keeping yourself fresh and keeping guys fresh versus, you know, getting in a rhythm or maybe, you know, getting out of a rhythm when you got to come out of the game. Do you like the rotation, and how does it work to benefit you, I guess, on Sundays?
You know, it keeps the guys fresh. You know, having a lot of depth on the D-line, it keeps a lot of guys fresh. You know, especially, you know, there's a lot of plays out there, man. You don't know how many plays you're going to get sometimes. So, you know, that rotation helps you keep fresh on third downs when you need to get, you know, back there and put pressure on that quarterback.
Are you ever able to go to the coach, Tracy Rogers, and tell him, you know what, I got this guy. I know we're in a rotation, but I'm in his head, or I feel really good about it. I've set him up in, you know, the first quarter, and now I got him in the second quarter, but it's your time to come out of the game. Are you able as a starter to be able to say, give me one more series or a couple more plays, I think I can make something happen?
You know, that'd be up the case. I don't think I'm there to even say that yet, but, you know, it depends on how he feels, how I'm working him. If I'm working him good and he sees that I'm, you know, getting inside his head or beating him, then he'll just keep me in there.
All right, good stuff. Olivier Vernon, nice start to the season, certainly. Second year looking like big things coming. Appreciate it. Thanks for the time, and have a good one on Sunday.
All right, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Let's hop back next door to the interview room. Ryan Tannehill doing his weekly meet with the media.
Oh, for sure, for sure. You have to learn from a good play or a bad play. And obviously the ones that are really bad at a turnover, interceptions, you really overanalyze it and get as much out of it as you can.
The one in the end zone, was that just a bad throw or was it a
combination? Combination of both. Yeah. You know, I shouldn't have been going there with the ball to begin with, and I realized that in my throwing motion. Tried to squeeze it a little bit to pull it back down, and, you know, it fluttered and it went straight to him. So it was the ultimate, you know, bad play.
I'm sorry. You say you can overanalyze it sometimes. I assume it's kind of like a blown save for a relief pitcher. You also need to be able to get over them, put it out of your mind to go on, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, during the game, you forget about it immediately. You get to the sideline, talk it over. As soon as that happens, you know, it's out of your mind and you're on to the next play. And then you come in, do the same thing. You watch the film, watch it several times, just figuring out, you know, where you went wrong. What made you do that? Why did you make that decision? Why did you make that throw? And then once you found out the reason for it, then you file it away and you move forward.
Right. What would you say the difference is in both your game and both your performances and the team as a whole in the first three games that were wins and the last three that were losses?
Well, it's not one thing. You know, I think that it's been a combination of different things. Most importantly, we just haven't made the big plays at the right time. We had a chance to win each of the last two ball games there at the end, and, you know, we didn't do it.
How far along would you say you and Brandon Gibson have come in your connection? Obviously, last Sunday you seemed to really be locked in.
Yeah, Brandon's done a great job. You know, I think that we've really grown over, obviously, the past 6 months, and he's really fitting in well to our offense. He understands the concepts, understands the routes we're running really well right now, and he's doing a great job of getting open and catching the balls that are thrown to him.
Would start talking about must wins. I mean, this is obviously a huge swing game for you guys.
About what?
Must wins, like situations like that. I mean, I know it's early, but
You know, every week is approached as a must win. You know, our backs are kind of against the wall right now. Obviously, losing three in a row, we realize that. We realize we're going to play a good team up in New England. So, division game. You have to get over last week's and come to play this week.
How much time do you spend watching veteran quarterbacks Brady and Manning and others to see how they buy that extra second when the blitz is coming, what things they do?
During the off season, a lot. You know, I don't do it at all during season, obviously, you know, focus on what we got going here. But during the off season, I'll take a look at a lot of those guys' tape and just try to pick up, you know, they're all different. They all go about things a different way and move around in a different way. But you can kind of pick up small things from everyone individually.
What do you
All right, that's Ryan Tannehill next door in the interview room talking to the media as he does every Wednesday throughout the season. We'll take a break when we come back, kind of talk a little bit more about what we've heard, what we've seen so far from these guys today after the wet practice at the Doctors Hospital training facility. Remember, you can now ride Tri-Rail to and from all Dolphin home games, avoid traffic, and save money on parking. Visit dolphins.com/Tri-Rail for details. We'll take a quick break when we come back. More discussion, plus some questions, 347-347 to text. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
It's the Finsiders with your host, Jesse Agler.
Welcome back to the Finsiders. Former Dolphins Keith Sims and Troy Drayden are here. Brought to you some live press conference action. Ryan Tannehill, Joe Philbin. Thanks to Olivier Vernon for swinging by the studio as well. Have some good text messages coming in at 347-347. Skleach texted in, and I guess it was a question for OV, but I can throw it at you guys. He wants to know if, you know, as players, do you guys hate the Patriots and how the media, you know, builds them up the way we fans hate them? Every week during the season, you know, when it's a rivalry game, a division game, players are always asked these questions. And they always say, hey, it's just another game. It's an important game, obviously. But you guys are both now retired players. Yeah. Were there teams you hated, and were they generally the same teams the fans hated when you got ready to play them?
Well, I think for me, our biggest rival back in the 90s was the Buffalo Bills. And it was a respect, but I didn't like them at all. I mean, they were good. They kept me out of two Super Bowls, and it seemed like the road, especially early in the 90s, went through Buffalo to get to the Super Bowl, so it was a frustration factor. We could beat them during the regular season, but when it came down to it in the playoffs, we always seemed to find a way to lose that game, and they went on to four straight Super Bowls. So back then, the Patriots weren't a big rival for us. They weren't the dominating team that's been over the last decade. But I think anytime you get a team that dominates a division like the Patriots have over the last decade, and even the AFC, you might say, they're dominant. They become a targeted team, and a team that, you know, for whatever reason, the media has embraced and loved, and all the players who've lost to them don't like them very much. I mean, I'm sure Peyton Manning doesn't like the Patriots.
I pretty much didn't like any team that I played against. Mm. But especially your rivalries. You know, when you're talking about being here and you're talking about the Jets, the Buffalo Bills, and you were talking about the Patriots, those were always intense. They were intense rivals. And, you know, I had some wars with, you know, guys like Chris Slade and Willie McGinnis and guys like that, and Pepper Johnson and those guys. I mean,
that's a Belichick guy.
I mean,
right there.
You know, so when you're talking about these rivals, you know, it's going to be a tough physical football game. But, you know, you just don't like them. And most of these guys are great guys off the field. But when you're playing against them between those white lines, they're not your friends, and they're the enemy. And when you look at them with, with ill intentions, especially for those 60 minutes. But, you know, anytime you're facing your rival, anytime you're facing a good football team, I know when I was with the Rams, we had to deal with the 49ers, and we hated the 49ers. So, you know, anytime you're playing the best in that division, you want to bring your best. And so you don't have any room for error, especially when you're trying to close that gap between the Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. You want to get back on top, to dominating the AFC East, and you have to go through the Patriots, and you have to beat them to get back there.
I'm not I don't think speaking out of turn at this point when I say this, but you guys are both kind of, you know, you're fans now, you know, mm-hmm. to a certain extent at least, and mm-hmm. obviously it's a different kind of fan as a former player than just somebody who's a fan, but is it much different now, you know, kind of that outside perspective or whatever, than when you were playing? Because when you're playing, Troy said, you know, sometimes you respect the guy, sometimes mm-hmm. you just hate a team, sometimes there's a dirty player that you don't like, whatever it is. But I mean, are you able to be maybe more emotional about it now because you don't have to worry about kind of keeping yourself, you know, in control or anything like that?
I think now as a fan, there's a different level of frustration because physically we can't do anything about the outcome of the game. Back then, at least we had an opportunity to, if I play my best or if I make that block, whatever it is,
right.
I can physically change the outcome of that game, good or bad. Now, we're watching on a screen. We're watching from the stands, and we're just at the mercy of what's happening, and we're yelling like every other fan, do this, do that. We can't do anything about it. So it's frustrating, but just in a different manner.
I think my level, my I feel the same way as I felt when I played.
Okay.
I mean, really and truly, like, I really hate the Patriots, and I hate the Jets, and I hate all the teams that the Miami Dolphins are playing against. Despite the fact of how good these teams are, they're still in our way of obtaining a goal, and that's the way that I look at it.
I guess as a fan, you want your team to be the team that everybody hates.
Yeah.
You know that because that's
yeah.
how you know things are going well.
Yeah.
And for a lot of years, there were a lot of people that hated the Dolphins,
yeah.
you know, because they were standing in other teams' way. And I guess that's what you aspire to. You want to be the evil empire and have everybody hate you. How'd you like to win $1,000 towards a yachting vacation with the Moorings? Visit moorings.com/Miami to enter for a chance to create your own lasting memories in paradise. We'll take a break when we come back. More of your questions. We'll check in with Tristan as well. Got some good texts coming in at 347-347. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
We return to the Finsiders now.
Welcome back. Former Dolphins Troy Drayden and Keith Sims are here. Got a lot of good texts coming in today at 347-347. Going to step away from those for just a couple of minutes, though. Head over to the Metro PCS Comment Center. Tristan Jones has been chatting with the fans online at Dolphins.com. Get to some of their questions.
Yeah, aside from them asking me when the injury report is coming out and what the injury update
later.
Is, that's what I said.
Yeah.
They're like, how do you guys get the injury report in a briefcase? I was like, no, in our inboxes, so
yeah.
We'll let you know.
It's not a secret thing, by the way. I don't know if they realize that.
We haven't gotten it yet.
It's sent out to everybody. The NFL puts it on their website. It gets emailed to all the media. It's secret before it goes out. But once it goes out, there's nothing secretive about it. That's the whole point of the injury report is it's for the public.
I'm pretty sure as soon as it arrives in the inboxes, you let everyone know.
Yes.
So don't be afraid, guys. We'll have it to you soon enough when we have it. But Rob Ryan.
I would guess, by the way, second hour of the show.
Oh, well, then our chatters will be happy about that.
The people's hour.
The people's hour. Oh, Lord. Okay. Rob Ryan in the chat. No, not the coach. Says, Gronkowski is a problem. How do you guys propose Miami goes about shutting him down?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's Wednesday and we've had this conversation 17 times on the show already.
And we're going to keep having it
yeah,
all week long.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in through Sunday night and probably next Monday, we'll still be talking about it. It's not a one-man thing most of the time, I don't think. It is not usually a littler guy kind of thing, I don't think. You got to mix it up, though. I mean, Bo Camper for years has been saying it, and I am all the way bought in on this. A guy like that can't have a free release off the line. You got to do something to try and slow him down, Drayden, hit him, it just anything, so that he can't just get off the line and run, you know, whatever he wants.
I think when you're talking about slowing down the tight ends, a couple weeks ago, I think, you know, there was a team that made a concerted effort to stop Jimmy Graham. I mean, he was double teamed. They did everything in their power to stop him. I think if you feel like he's an important piece to that offense and you want to take him away, you have to make a concerted effort to stop him. You have to jam him at the line of scrimmage. I mean, you have to understand he's still coming off injury, so he still may not be 100%. So you have to do everything in your power to make him utilize those muscles that he's not used to using that are still kind of weak, you know, throwing you and all those type of things. But you have to have Tom Brady come off of Gronkowski, and if you don't slow him down or get in his way, they're going to target him, and they're especially going to target him in the red zone. So I think this Miami Dolphin team has to make sure that they reroute him and they make him work for every single reception that he gets.
He is Tom Brady's security blanket. 17 targets last week. He's going to try and get him the ball. He's going to get his numbers. You just don't want to get killed by him, I guess, at the end of the day. You mentioned Graham, by the way, had a big game. Remember the week before, though, Tony Gonzalez, Dolphins did a nice job, you know, kind of keeping him check, although I do think he got dinged early in that game. Maybe wasn't himself the rest of the way. All right, what else you got over there?
All right, a question about our own defense. Dolphin 305 says, it seems as though the Fins defense keeps getting beat on third and forevers. Are they playing too conservative on those downs?
It's not happening all the time, but when it happens, it's really easy to remember because it's so frustrating. There was one the other day, a key one. Obviously, everybody remembers the Sproles play on Monday night at the Superdome. What do you like in that situation? Do you like aggressive? Do you like, you know, kind of sitting back and letting them get 8 if they need 12? I mean, what would be your approach, Keith Sims, defensive coordinator?
Well, I think to me with this Dolphin defense, and I think you've got to understand they're limited a little bit. Their best pass rusher has been injured, Cameron Wake, for the last couple of weeks, so they haven't been able to just turn the four guys loose that they wanted to in the beginning of the year. They've had to play a little softer coverage, maybe try to get a fifth guy in the pass rush, which limits some guys and put some people one-on-one or play a softer zone. I would like to see this team in third and long when you've got a healthy Cameron Wake out there, Olivier Vernon, Deion Jordan out there, and have turned the four guys, your best pass rushers, loose. I think Kevin Coyle would play different defense when he has his best guys. Right now, he doesn't have his full complement of defense, so they've played a lot softer. I still, all that being said, I still don't want to see teams, particularly teams like Buffalo, get third down and 12. It happened too many times the last couple weeks.
Yeah, the screen in particular has vexed the Dolphins in those situations this year. It seems like in your head, automatically, third and plus 10 should be shut down. Yeah. And so when it isn't, emotionally, it kills you. It really does. Join John Offerdahl and 25 Dolphin Legends at the Gridiron Grill-Off Saturday, November 9th. Visit gridirongrilloff.com for tickets and information. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll take you inside the Dolphin locker room. We'll hear from Jonathan Martin, Cameron Wake, and Richie Incognito. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
Now, back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Welcome back. Keith Sims, Troy Drayden, Jesse Agler, Tristan Jones hanging out in the Metro PCS Comment Center, chatting with the fans. Check back in with her in a little bit. Second hour of the show, we'll visit with our old buddy Ben Volen now of the Boston Globe, go behind enemy lines, get some intel on the New England Patriots for Sunday's game. Also in the second hour of the show, have some fun with Bill Belichick. I love Bill Belichick press conferences, sort of a guilty pleasure of mine. He just totally shuts everybody down and doesn't really give any answers to anything. And it entertains me. It amuses me. I just really, really like it. And so we'll have some fun with that. Here's an example. We'll play back some audio in the second. Here was an exchange that happened in his press conference earlier today. Question was asked, is Danny Amendola subject to the concussion protocol? Because he got his head, bumped the other day. Belichick responded, every player has to go through medical clearance. Follow-up question, but specifically concussion protocol. Does he still have to go through that? Belichick, yeah, sure. Every player has to go through whatever the medical procedures are. So he hasn't been cleared to practice yet? I didn't say that. I said every player just has to go through the medical procedures. So has he been cleared to practice? We'll go over our practice report after practice like we always do. Just amazing. I love it. Just completely just shuts you down. No matter what you say, yeah. Bill is the sky blue. We'll look into that. It cracks me up. So we'll have some fun with that. He did his conference call with the South Florida media earlier today. We'll play back some of that in the second hour of the show. Time now to go inside the Dolphin locker room and do some locker room blitz as we hear from the Dolphin players as they prepare for Sunday's game against the New England Patriots. And we'll start with a much-discussed guy this week, and that second-year tackle, Jonathan Martin. Here's what he had to say after practice this week on the possibility of having to go back to right tackle after the trade for Bryant McKinney.
It's a decision that the GM and I guess the coach staff thought they had to make, and you can approach this two different ways. You can go in the tank and be one of those guys that bitches and moans and is cancer in the locker room, or you can be a guy that's going to go out there and be professional and play as hard as I can. So my mindset is I'm still going to go out there, try and get better, and do whatever I can to help this team win.
I don't know that I could have written a better answer for him to that question. Just from what I want to hear personally, mm-hmm. I love what he just said there.
I'm glad he read from the script really well, did a great job. He's a team player, he's a young guy, and he has no other answer than that. If he was an all-pro left tackle, they wouldn't be moving him. He's a guy who's learning a position, and I think he's taken the potential change. I'm going to say potential because we don't know for sure. Well.
I think you're absolutely right, Keith. When you're talking about changing from the left side to the right side, he started off as a right tackle. Whatever's going to make this football team better, I agree. You have to be able to do that, because one thing you don't want to be looked at as is a cancer in the locker room. You want to be looked at a guy who is professional. And the good thing about it is, he's able to move from right to left, so you're able to have that versatility. So whatever's going to help this football team get better and keep Ryan Tannehill upright. Is best for this team.
All right, let's move to Cam Wake and the defense. A lot of talk about, him playing 25 snaps only or whatever it was the other day. And obviously he's hurt, and that's the reason for that. Here's what Cam said yesterday, kind of about the challenges of playing every snap at defensive end.
Obviously, I have a high opinion of what it is to be a defensive end, a 200 hybrid defensive end. Every play you're hair has to be on fire every day. Every play you're playing with somebody who's 100 pounds heavier than you, you really can't take. There's no backside of pass rush. I mean, you can't take that play off, and you have to be in a hell of a way to play 80 plays at that position. So, I don't think anybody would mind rest. But at the same time, when you're sitting on the sideline, it's third and long. You want to be out there. So.
Got to pick your spots. Got to be situational about the whole thing. But, people for whatever reason, have started obsessing in the last week or so over the rotation on the defensive line. So if you've never watched football before, which must be the case because you're talking about this so much, Cam Wake just answered it for you. You can't play 80 snaps at defensive end the way this game goes. It's different on the offensive line. You guys,
thank you. I'm glad you said that.
You guys are expected to be out there for each and every snap. It's not the case on the other side of the ball. Never
is. It's not. And there's always a rotation on the defensive line because they want to continue to throw fresh, energetic bodies at the offensive line because we're worn down by our 60, 70, 80 snaps we have to do every single game. But if you're throwing fresh defensive line, like you said, particularly on the money down, which is third down, they can get a huge play.
No, I think you're right, Keith. When you look at, you know, the rotation of any offense or any defense, you know, especially the defensive side, these guys are going 100 miles an hour every single play, and they're trying to get to your quarterback or they're stuffing the run. They're taking on two guys. So, yeah, you need fresh bodies out there to continually put a consistent pass rush on every quarterback and consistently block those running lanes for running backs.
All right, lastly, we'll hear from Richie Incognito. He's faced this Patriots team a bunch of times now, of course. Here's what he says the challenge is going up against New England.
I've never beat the Patriots in my entire career, so.
You ready?
It's something I'm hungry for. It's something that I told the guys today. You know, we got to make up our mind early in the week to beat these guys. We've got to make up our mind right now. Have a good week of preparation and go up there and give them our best shot.
Some time with the Bills, some time with the Dolphins. Been a few years since Channing Crowder's interception to seal the win against New England Patriots. Dolphins looking to get off the schneid against this team this week. And some good leadership talk there out of Richie Incognito, really trying to focus his guys early on in the week and get them ready for what's going to be a battle on Sunday.
Well, you heard Coach Philbin talk about in his press conference, they're going to have to play their best football of the year to have an opportunity to beat the Patriots. They're that good, particularly at home.
No, you're right. And again, you have to go out and close that gap. And to me, I think, you know, you're going out to beat the best team in the AFC East, and you're going out to dethrone these guys. These guys have taken over the AFC East for a long time. So now it's the Miami Dolphins' turn to really go up there and show them what kind of football team we truly are.
There you go. That's the Locker Room Blitz on this Wednesday, October 23rd. Join the Dolphins Orange Pages today to take advantage of special offers and to network with other business professionals through the Dolphins Business Alliance. Visit orangepages.miamidolphins.com. We'll take a break when we come back, get to a few more of your questions as we wrap up a very quick first hour of the show on this Wednesday. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
We return to the Finsiders now.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of the show with Troy Drayden and Keith Sims. I'm Jesse Agler. Lots of good text messages coming in at 347-347. Get back to those just a moment. First, go to the Metro PCS Comment Center. Get with Tristan Jones, who's been chatting with the fans online.
You know, there's a lot of questions about if the Dolphins will be able to take advantage of the fact that the Patriots' defense has been depleted a little bit. So how do you see the Dolphins' offense exploiting that, if you want to say, weakness of theirs?
Yeah, I mean, look, they brought a guy back in Carter this week. Chandler Jones is really kind of coming onto the scene. They've still got a veteran guy in Ninkovich, who will be on the show tomorrow, by the way. They're okay up front. They're not the same without Vince Wilfork as they are with Vince Wilfork. He's just one of those difference-making kind of guys. They have struggled against the run at times this year, but of course the Dolphins haven't got the run game going. So as much as, you know, we as Dolphin fans are saying, hey, we should be able to run on them because their run defense hasn't been good, on the other side, the Patriots fans are probably looking at it and saying, well, our run defense has struggled, but Miami can't run. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of those things may give. It has to go one of the two ways, I suppose. But they're still a formidable team on defense. I don't think we can just start sitting there and saying, well, no, Wilfork, we should just be able to do whatever we want.
No, you definitely shouldn't say that, especially because Bill Belichick is going to tinker with his defense and come up with a scheme, whether it be dropping a safety in the box. Again, because you play on our passing game, they may not be afraid of us going deep, so you might see the line of scrimmage with more bodies. They're going to have to throw some bodies at the running game and or scheme around to try to shut it down, because if the Dolphins can run the football, that's going to open up the Dolphin offense. So if I'm the New England Patriots, I'm going to try whatever I can to shut down the running game.
You can't allow the New England Patriots to make you one-dimensional. And you have to be able to go out and stick with the run. I think we cannot give up on the run. We have to stick with it. even if you're only getting 1 or 2 yards a pop, just for the fact that you have play action purposes, it opens up your playbook.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. That's what we said going into the last game, and it's certainly what we're saying again coming into this game against the Patriots. That'll do it for the first hour of the show. Thanks to everybody watching on Fox Sports Florida for hanging out with us today. But believe you me, this show continues on radio and online. Coming up after this, we'll get to all your text messages, plus Ben Volen of the Boston Globe. That's right now on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
It's the Finsiders.
Welcome back to the Finsiders, hour number 2 on this Wednesday. It's the people's hour of the show with a couple
That's right.
of men.
We adopted that yesterday, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we did. The men of the people are here, Troy Drayden and Keith Sims. Dolphins and the Patriots coming up on Sunday in Foxborough, Massachusetts. To talk about that, our good buddy Ben Volen of the Boston Globe joins us on the Metro PCS hotline. Ben, how you been, man?
I'm hanging in there, just grinding away through another NFL season. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing excellent. Thank you. Make sure you follow Ben on Twitter, at Ben Volen. Do the people in Boston even know that there's a football game on Sunday, or are they just all jazzed up for the Red Sox and the Cardinals tonight?
No, the schedule worked out perfectly because there wasn't an overlap, so people could focus on the Patriots, and now during the week they can focus on the Red Sox. It'll be interesting what happens on Sunday. But we had that crazy day down here just 2 weeks ago when the Patriots won in the last second, and then the Red Sox won in the bottom of the ninth as well. So just kind of a crazy time to be a sports fan, and not surprisingly, another Boston team is playing for another title.
Yeah, very nice. All right. Ben Volen is with us from the Boston Globe. Is the concern about Tom Brady starting to feel legitimate? I think it was sort of a fringe thing maybe before the season started where, you know, some of the more frustrated fans, you know, weren't necessarily happy with the overall team, so that kind of becomes a Tom Brady thing. And now is it becoming more mainstream? I feel like I'm hearing more of it now.
Yeah, I think it is because at first, early in the season, it was easy to blame it on the young receivers. Oh, well, they're not on the same page. They haven't learned the offense yet. I'm talking about rookies, Kenrell Tompkins and Aaron Dobson, and they also had a tight end, Zach Sudfeld, who's since been cut. So it's easy to kind of blame things on them when the offense wasn't clicking. But you go back and watch the tape of Brady's the last two of his last three games against the Bengals and Jets, which they've lost, and I mean, a lot of it's on him. He's not making the right reads sometimes, or he's just sailing throws or throwing too wide, throwing out of bounds when he's got guys streaking up the sideline. He's been pretty horrible at throwing the deep pass all year. He throws laser beams out there, and if he could just put a little more loft and a little more touch under it, they'd have some big touchdowns. So, I mean, it's definitely a combination of things where there is a lot of new pieces in the offense, and he doesn't feel very comfortable with the offense as he has in years past. But some of it's on him, and you have to wonder also at age 36, is he finally starting to show some signs of age?
Well, Ben, I know you used to be in South Florida. You haven't been up there that long, but so you understand the magnitude of this game from a Dolphin perspective. Clue us in on how the Patriots look at this rivalry. Is it as intense on the Patriots side as they look down at the Dolphins?
Definitely not with the fan base. I don't think the fans are too geeked up about playing the Patriots or about playing the Dolphins this week. You know, it's an important game and a division game, but there's no extra buzz around it. I would say certainly Bill Belichick and the Patriots respect the Dolphins a lot, even though they've won 6 straight matchups. There have been some close calls in there. Last year down in Miami, it was a very close game, and the Dolphins defense, I thought, did a pretty good job of slowing down Tom Brady. And I know that Week 17 game, 28-0, I almost throw that one away because the Dolphins had very little to play for that day, and they just wanted to get through the game safe and healthy for the most part. So I think the team certainly respects the Dolphins, that defensive line, especially if Cam Wake can be even healthier this week, and Randy Starks and Jared Odrick and all those guys screaming down your neck. I know Belichick has a lot of respect for that, and that's the type of defense that bothers Tom Brady, guys, teams that can get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So I think this is going to be a close game. Maybe even if if this isn't a big deal for the fans, I think it's going to be a close game, and I'm interested to see how Ryan Tannehill and the offense can kind of respond and do in a hostile environment up here.
Ben, I know that the Patriots lost a couple games. Do you think they're kind of feeling the heat of the other teams starting to get closer to them in the AFC East? Are they kind of peeking over their shoulders a little bit and saying, okay, we need to step it up? Or is it a situation like, okay, it's still a long season, we're okay, we're not going to panic, we're the Patriots, we're just going to go out and play football?
Yeah, I know it's not the answer you want to hear, but I think it's the second thing you said there. look, they're 5-2, and they've been playing with the JV team for a lot of the season. They haven't had Rob Gronkowski until last week. They've lost Vince Wilfork and Gerard Bayo now for the season. Aqib Talib, probably their best defensive player, was out last week. Like I said, they're playing with rookie wide receivers, and Danny Amendola has been hurt, and Shane Vereen, a very good running back, he's been hurt. So they're still 5-2 despite all of that. So I think the feeling is, you know, just kind of weather the storm, and once we get all these pieces back, the Patriots still could be a pretty dangerous team. And, yeah, you know, obviously they lost Wes Walker, and they don't have Aaron Hernandez anymore, and there's been a lot of change. But when you add Rob Gronkowski to the mix, and if they can get healthy on defense, I still think this is a pretty dangerous team. And, you know, the Dolphins have made some moves, but certainly this three-game losing streak doesn't give you a lot of confidence. I was really liking the Dolphins' chances when they started 3-0. But now you see they've kind of fallen back to the pack a little bit. And I still see the Patriots as a 11 or 12-win team this year.
Talking to Ben Volen of the Boston Globe. He's on Twitter, at Ben Volen. You know, everybody's talking about the decline and the demise of this offense and the end of an era and all of that kind of stuff. But they are still scoring almost 22 points a game, which by their standards, you know, might not be up there, but it's still fine in the NFL right now. So when things have gone well offensively for this team, what does it look like?
Kind of ground and pound. The running game is the strength of this team, between Steven Ridley as the primary ball carrier, and then Brandon Bolden is kind of the pass catcher out of the backfield. And then they sprinkle in some Garrett Blunt sometimes too, if they need a 250-pound running back out of the backfield. So really it's about establishing the running game and then using that with the play action. When they beat Atlanta on that Sunday night game a few weeks ago, that's exactly what they did. They just pounded in the first half with the running game, and then they really opened things up with the play-action passes in the second half. Now that they have Gronk back, last week was a bit of transition for them as they try to figure out how Gronk fits into this offense again, because really, through the first few weeks, the tight end wasn't a major part of the offense, which is a big change for New England around here. So Brady was almost locking onto Gronk too much. But assuming that they kind of get things figured out, he's going to be a big red zone threat over the middle, and that should open things up on the outside for the rookies, Tompkins and Dobson. But then, as long as they have the most success when they stick to the running game. They got away from that last week against the Jets, so I wouldn't be surprised if they really try to establish that Sunday against the Dolphins.
Ben, talk to us a little about the defense. You lose Vince Wilfork. You lose Mayo in the middle as well. I know you signed Andre Carter this week to help out, but he seems more of a pass rush kind of guy out there. The Dolphins have not been a stellar running team at this point, and it's definitely an emphasis for them. You saw it last week against the Buffalo Bills. How are the Patriots going to attempt to shore up that defense and stop the Miami progressing running game?
It hasn't been easy. You know, you don't just replace a guy like Vince Wilfork, who actually, it's kind of the dirty secret around here. He was only having an okay season, especially by his standards. He only played 4 games. People were wondering if he was kind of playing hurt this year. They had to replace him really with rookies. These guys, Chris Jones, who everyone in the country kind of has heard of now that he committed that penalty against the Jets the other day. But he had a phenomenal game with 10 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. Really doing a nice job as a rookie. And another undrafted kid out of Maryland, Joe Villano, and Marcus Forston, the kid from the University of Miami, he got called up from the practice squad. So the defensive line now is really a bunch of kids, and then they're relying on guys like Chandler Jones and Rob Ninkovich, the two defensive ends, to really help contain the running game. And Brandon Spikes, the linebacker, he's really had to step up with Gerard Mayo out now, and he's done a real nice job in the run game. Chandler Jones is a guy that's really made a nice progression here in his second season. Already has 6.5 sacks, more than he had all last year as a rookie. Really has had some nice games and put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And then their secondary has been excellent. Aqib Talib did practice today, so that's a good sign for him. He's been arguably the best, if not one of the top cornerbacks in the league this year. Dev McCourty at safety has also been playing at a Pro Bowl level. So the defense for the Patriots, which has kind of been their sore spot for the last few years, has really stepped up their game and won a few ball games for the Patriots this year while the offense has struggled.
Ben, I know Tom Brady is definitely glad to have Rob Gronkowski back, and he wasn't shy about going to him the first game. Is this something that you see him continuing to do, or do you see him kind of using Gronk to open up things for the other weapons that they have?
Yeah, you know, I think they almost fed Gronk too much last game. They had a pick six where Brady just kind of stared him down, and the safety was able to undercut the route and return it for a touchdown. So I feel like he almost has to do a better job of spreading the ball around. Julian Edelman, Kenbrell Tompkins, they really didn't have much of an impact last week. I think you have to give the Jets some credit for that. I thought Antonio Cromartie had a pretty excellent game. Dean Miller as well. So I definitely think that the Patriots are going to do a more concerted effort to spread the ball around. You know, the Dolphins, I have a feeling they're probably gonna, the Patriots are going to be avoiding Brent Grimes than attacking probably the Dolphins' other cornerbacks. And the Patriots have had some success against the Dolphins over the last few years, especially passing the ball. And I would imagine they're probably going to go back and try to do the same thing on Sunday.
Yeah, it probably won't be too different, even though some of the faces have changed on both sides of it. Ben Volen covers the NFL and the Patriots for the Boston Globe. Get him on Twitter at Ben Volen. Of course, he used to cover the Dolphins for the Palm Beach Post. Appreciate it, Ben. Great to talk to you. And enjoy the game on Sunday.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate it. Ben Volen on the Metro PCS Hotline. For unlimited access to all interviews on the Metro PCS Hotline, visit thefinsiders.com. It's not the same group. You know, it's just not. It isn't. And it's funny because you ask him, well, when have they been at their best offensively? And he says when they go ground and pound. Mm-hmm. And have you been able to say that about the Patriots since, like, 2004? You know, I mean, it's a good adaptation on their end. Dolphins are right now averaging more points per game than the Patriots. I mean, when was the last time you could say that this many weeks into the season? But there they are with the wins that they have, and that's been the difference, obviously.
I think the difference between a Patriot team and the Miami Dolphins, two different teams where they are, the Patriots are trying to get through a change, young receivers, injuries. They probably feel really good about their team being a playoff football team. So they're not worried about every individual battle during the season. They're worried about getting this team ready to play come late November and December and then into January. The Dolphins, they're young. They haven't been there. They haven't won the division. They haven't been to playoffs in a while. They're trying just to get to the dance. Two totally different mindsets, which allows a little bit more patience and less reaction to every individual game.
No, I think you're right, Keith. When you think about the two teams, I mean, there's a drastic difference. You have a veteran team, and Tom Brady is one of those guys who is pretty much, he is that locker room. And you also have Mankin and all those other guys who pretty much control that locker room. So they're allowed that leeway, but they know how to handle their business as a professional. So when you look at this Miami Dolphin locker room, like he said, you know, you need a little bit of patience because this is a relatively young team. And, you know, I think ultimately you're going to have to stay on top of this young team, and you're going to have to allow them to find their style, because right now I don't think this team really knows the kind of football team they are.
Yeah.
So you have to find that identity. You already know the Patriots' identity goes through Tom Brady. That's who they are. And they have a bend but don't break type of defense. But when you're talking about this Miami Dolphin team, you're talking about a defensive-minded team, but the offense truly doesn't know what kind of team they are.
Yeah, not yet. And I read earlier today, I think the Patriots, since 2002 maybe, in the month of October at home, that one loss. One loss at home in the month of October. But again, it's not the same Patriots, and it's not the same Dolphins. And the past, not necessarily any kind of dictator of the future. But we'll see. It's going to be fun on Sunday. It's a big, big game for this Dolphin team. I mean, you lost three in a row. You know, you're going up there to face the king of the hill, so to speak. And a win for Miami, obviously, would be massive on Sunday. Behold an island paradise, just a short flight from Florida. Behold the Bahamas. Visit Bahamas.com for deals and packages today. We'll take a break. When we come back, get to your questions. A bunch of texts all piled up at 347-347. Also check in with Tristan. We got the Chat's Choice coming up about a half hour from now. And, of course, the best of Belichick coming up as well. You're listening to the Finsiders on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
We return to the Finsiders now.
Back with Keith Sims and Troy Drayden. Tristan chatting with the fans. We're talking about the week next week. Yeah. Not that we're looking ahead to the Patriots. No. We're past the Patriots. Certainly not. But next week could be a quick week because you got the Bengal game at home on Thursday night, Halloween night. And, Keith, it reminded us of the Bears game at home a couple of years ago on Thursday night.
Shivers down my arm.
It was so cold that night. It was like the first week in November, and it was just randomly really cold that night. I think by the time, you know, we started the post-game show at 11:30 or whatever it was, you know, outside, this is 2010, I think. Miserable game, by the way. They couldn't move the ball. It did nothing against the Bears. And, I mean, it had to be like in the 40s.
Yeah, it was.
And we were not ready for that.
No.
I think you had a leather jacket.
I did, but I didn't have a thick leather jacket. Nobody in Florida has a real heavy leather jacket.
Yeah, so. I think I was wearing a polo shirt. Like, we really We messed that one up good.
Talked about starting a little bonfire there behind the set, you know, but we could.
Just burn the whole set down. Would have kept us warm. All right, we got the best of Belichick coming up about 10 minutes from now. I got the chat choice coming up in a little bit as well. But a bunch of good text messages that I want to get to at 347-347. In fact, there are so many of them. I got to really scroll here, and I want to try and take these kind of in the order that they came down. Excuse me. Somebody made an interesting point. Stavros, I think. He said, after the Buffalo game, some Dolphin fans were questioning Ryan Tannehill. But doesn't it say something that after two picks, he came back and threw his most touchdowns in a game? Yeah, it's a good point. It was a bad start. There's no question about that. I mean, that's obvious. The pick six right off the bat. And, you know, he got off to a very, very rough start against the Bills. But, yeah, it does say something that he fought back. And he ended up throwing three touchdowns in a game for the first time. To me, this is one of those deals. It's a young quarterback. He's going to take his lumps. You're going to ride the roller coaster with him. And it's not always going to be a week-to-week roller coaster. Sometimes it can be a quarter-to-quarter roller coaster or a throw-to-throw roller coaster. And that's kind of the nature for a lot of young quarterbacks. And I think that's kind of the situation we're in with Ryan Tannehill.
It showed a lot about Ryan Tannehill, but it also showed a lot about this Dolphin team, the resolve. I mean, before you blinked, they were down 14-0. Ryan Tannehill had the pick six, and then they were driving, and as you know, the second interception when they were trying to get points on the board. But I like the resiliency of this team. They weren't playing well. They were down against an opponent they knew they should have probably arguably beat. They didn't end up beating him, and the entire team rallied both offensively and defensively, and they came back and not only tied the game up but took the lead. So to me, that shows this team is not a team that's going to quit. It would have been really easy for them to say, oh, woe is me, and continue that poor play, but instead they all raised their level of play. And you got to take your hat off to Ryan Tannehill by being able to go from two interceptions with a pick six to three touchdowns.
No, I don't think there's any quit in this football team. And they kind of resemble the attitude of this coaching staff. I mean, you're not going to be allowed to quit. You have to play a 60-minute football game. And, you know, quarterbacks like cornerbacks, they have to have a short memory. If you throw a couple picks, you have to have a short memory. You have to be able to go out and lead your football team. So I think, you know, that was another step in Ryan Tannehill maturing, because again, a lot of people would get rattled after throwing a couple interceptions. You may get a little hesitant about throwing the football, but he didn't. He was able to still lead his team. Unfortunately, the Miami Dolphins made too many mistakes to come out with the victory, but it really kind of showed the maturity level of Ryan Tannehill, because you know it's always easy to praise him when everything goes good. But how is he going to react when he has a couple bad things happen? And I think he reacted like a professional.
Here's an interesting theory on the Bills game from DJ. He says, let's face it, last week, classic look ahead to this game. This is the game. Beat the Fins and recent woes go away. Denny in Georgia kind of on that same page. He goes, hey, a win at the Patriots will make up for everything. I think a lot of people feel like that. I don't consider last week a look ahead, though. I don't think that's what went wrong for the Dolphins. I don't think it was that they weren't concerned about the Buffalo Bills. They made mistakes. They played, you know, a sloppy game. They did too many things to beat themselves. I never got the sense watching that the other day, Troy, that they were like, you know, looking ahead and not, you know, focused on that game. Plenty of things that went wrong, plenty of things to pick at, but I didn't get that sense from the game.
Jesse, let me tell you something. You have a divisional foe right in front of your face. And no matter what, you can never overlook any opponent. I mean, you're talking about a game that you need, especially to gain some momentum in the division. So I don't think it was a situation where the Miami Dolphins were looking ahead to the Patriots. It was a situation where the team did not play well, and they couldn't overcome the mistakes. They fought hard. They played a 60-minute football game, but ultimately turnovers and mistakes will hurt your football team. And when you're in close games like that, you can't afford to make those mistakes. So this is not a classic case of looking ahead. I mean, you're talking about the Buffalo Bills. You can't take any team lightly, especially when it comes to your divisional opponent. So I think he's wrong. He's totally wrong. It was a game where mistakes killed you. And you know, if you can't overcome those mistakes, especially in a tight football game, you're going to lose.
Troy, we've all been there. Every season we can look back on a game or two where we didn't play our best. It was an opponent that we felt like we could have and should have beat on paper, but we didn't get it done. And you look back on it later and say, that's a game that kept me out of the playoffs. That's a game that kept us out of first place in division. That's a game that kept me out of whatever it is. And it happens for whatever reason. We scratch our heads as fans. We don't get it. But it happens to just about every single team in the league. And when you spot a team in the NFL, 7 points, and you turn the ball over and you get pick sixes, it's hard to beat anybody.
Absolutely. All right, we'll get back to all the fan questions. And I know it's the people's hour, the show, and you know you want the fan questions, but sometimes there are things that are of a higher priority, like this. It's the injury report presented by Doctors Hospital, the official wellness provider of the Miami Dolphins. We can't talk over the commercials, guys. Sorry. The injury report is presented by Doctors Hospital, the official wellness provider of the Miami Dolphins. They pay the bills. You don't want to talk over Doctors Hospital. All right, here we go. Danelle Ellerby, limited with a shoulder. Brandi Gibson, limited with a shoulder. Bryant McKinney, limited with a knee. And Ryan Tannehill, limited with a shoulder. Those are the only guys limited for the Dolphins. That means everybody practiced today for Miami. Brent Grimes, Cole Meese, Dremetri Patterson, Cam Wake, all on the injury report as well, but all practiced in full. Of course, for the Patriots, you know, they have like 15, 20 guys on the injury report. That's kind of their thing. Two guys, though, did not practice. Leon Washington, the Dolphin killer, and Tommy Kelly. Neither one of those guys practiced today. Among those limited were Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, and everybody's favorite tight end, Michael.
Situation right there, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
What about Ho'o Manua Nui?
He says it wrong. That's the bad part.
Ho'o Manua Nui.
Yeah, Ho'o Manua Nui, the tight end. They call him Who-Man up there. I don't know why. He is in the injury. He was limited today. Aqib Talib also limited today. So that's an early and first look at the injury report for the Dolphins and the Patriots today. 347-347 if you want to text in. 1-855-GO-FINS. If you want to call in, let's get back to a couple of text messages, and we'll get to everything else coming up in a little bit as well. A lot of questions, again, about Gronkowski and how to sort of handle that, but I don't know. I mean, we've talked about it a million times. They'll try some different things. We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening with that. Somebody else texted in saying, who are we going to add to the practice squad? Well, they actually did add a wide receiver to the practice squad today. They had a spot open there. Nate Palmer, a wide receiver, has been added to the practice squad, wearing number 15. I believe it's the first time a player has worn number 15 since Devon Best left. But hey, I mean, sometimes it happens. So Nate Palmer is there. It's funny, by the way, I was thinking about Devon Best today because I was talking about Brandon Gibson with someone and how good of a game he had the other day and how well he's been playing. And I know there was mass hysteria among a big group of fans when Devon Best was traded, you know, over the course of the draft weekend this past year. But when was the last time, if you're being honest with yourself as a Dolphin fan, you were like, man, I wish Devon Best were here. And I love Devon, and I'm not taking a shot at a guy on the way out the door. But I think at this point, it's pretty clear the Dolphins have upgraded at the slot wide receiver position, and maybe not even by just a little bit.
How many touchdowns did Devon have for us last season? You're absolutely right. And we all love Devon. He was great in this community. He's a good player. I mean, he would talk about the career he's had as an undrafted free agent. So no shot at him, but it's about this team upgrading every opportunity they possibly can. They did it in the offseason. They did it this week by bringing in Bryant McKinney. So, you know, Jeff Allen always likes to talk about, you know, looking, finding acorns, and he's trying to unturn and have that roster. They're not to the point as a team where they can just sit pat. So it's anybody's game.
Jeff Ireland's in a very tough position because sometimes, you know, when you have guys like Devon Best who are good in the community and, you know, he was a good football player on the field, sometimes you have to make uncomfortable decisions to make your football team better. No, they're not going to be popular decisions, but I think in the long run, when you see the productivity of the person that you're going to bring in or the person that you brought in, it kind of makes sense. Well, I think in this situation, it kind of makes sense. Brandon Gibson is a big upgrade to this Miami Dolphin team because not only can he play inside, but he can play outside. So despite the fact that it wasn't a popular choice or a popular decision, I think people would definitely say, you know, bringing in Gibson was a great decision for this team.
And Popular Community Bank, get free mobile banking with text alerts and mobile check deposits. Visit popularcommunitybank.com for details. Popular Community Bank, the human side of banking. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from the head coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick. We got the Chat's Choice coming up in a bit, and also some more of your questions at 347-347. You're listening to the Finsiders on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
Now, back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Welcome back here from Bill Belichick. Just a moment. A couple Bryant McKinney text message questions came in at 347-347. Somebody in Miami who doesn't know how football works says, we just traded for McKinney and he's on the injury report? Yes, but it's not going to stop him, you know, from being able to play. He's just dinged up, and they're being honest about it and saying, hey, he's on the injury report. He was limited. It doesn't mean he's not capable of playing in a game. Everybody is hurt in the NFL at this point. I mean, you know, most everybody. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's if he doesn't play on Sunday, my sense is it's only going to be because, you know, he just wasn't able to acclimate quickly enough. And that's a hard thing to do. And for some guys, moving from one system to another, it can happen in a couple of days. For some guys, it can't. You know, there's a million variables with all of that. Somebody else texted, where is McKinney playing left tackle? Only place he has ever played. Now, asterisk there, as media today, we weren't allowed to see any of the 11-on-11 stuff. But yesterday, when we saw him doing individual drills, today, when we saw him doing individual drills, he was playing left tackle. He had his left hand in the ground. He wasn't playing right tackle. He's never played right tackle. And I don't think you trade for a veteran guy who's been around as long as he has, only playing one position and ask him to play something else. That wouldn't make a lot of sense.
No.
And Jonathan Martin, by the way, has been working in those individual drills at right tackle. So I think that's certainly what everybody expects if and when McKinney's ready to go, that he'll be at left tackle and Martin at right tackle. All right, let's go behind enemy lines here from the head coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick. He did his conference call with the South Florida media today. And Chris Perkins of the Sun Sentinel asked him about that big penalty on the field goal the other day at the end of the game. And, of course, New England was called for, you know, using somebody as a pusher during a field goal attempt. It was a big penalty, and it gave the Jets a second opportunity to win it in overtime, which they did. And if you can believe it, Belichick not all that interested in rehashing what took place the other day.
There's a report that the Dolphins, on their field goal attempt against Baltimore, there was a pushing incident. They turned the video into the league. That put the referees on alert, and that led to the penalty against you guys in overtime. What do you think about that? Have you heard that? And is that a true story? And what do you think? I mean, is, you know, are the Dolphins responsible for your loss in any way, shape, or form?
We've moved on from the Jets game. Our focus now is on the Dolphins, and you know, we're going to do everything we can to be ready to go on Sunday against them, and that's where we're at. We've moved on from all the other games this year.
So is that a yes?
I love him. You can only do that when your team has won and dominated like the Patriots have in this division over the last decade. If you're the Bills or if you're Rex Ryan, you're going to have to answer those questions. But he has been nothing but a mountain of consistency of giving no answer to anything over the last 10 or 15 years. You got to love him for that.
Now, you see a lot of other coaches kind of taking a page out of his book, but not in the way that – and not in the manner that Coach Belichick is – does, but you know, a lot of coaches are the same way pretty much, and you know, Belichick, he just takes it to the next level. I mean, his sarcasm and his mannerisms are classic, and that speaks a lot about him and what he's about.
I just love that Perk was really trying. You know, he threw out all the detail. It was a long question, really trying to just get something, anything. And he could have asked him anything, mm-hmm. and Belichick would have given that same answer. Perk also asked him about his team's passing game. Here's what Bill Belichick had to say.
Tell me about the receiving core and Brady. Is Brady still as accurate? Is he still putting the ball on the money? Are these receivers catching the ball better? Are they performing up to your standard? What do you think about the passing game right now?
Well, I think as a total football team, would include everything on this passing game, running game, offense, defense, special teams. There's a lot of things that we can do better and we need to do better. Coaching, playing, execution, you know, we're just not as consistent as we need to be in any area of the game. And we've got to coach it better. We've got to execute it better. We just got to be more consistent all the way across the board. And I think that's where we are as a total football team. I wouldn't single out any one area more than another. But, you know, we're all working hard to try to improve in at each spot. And that goes for everybody, from the head coach to every player, assistant coach on the team. We're all in the same spot on that one.
There you go. It's maybe not even to me what he says so much as it's the way he sounds. Yeah. He just he wants no part of it. He did have, you know, I think some good stuff to say, though, about Ryan Tannehill. He was asked about the Dolphins quarterback, and he perked up a little bit and had some very nice things to say about the second-year QB.
Well, I'd say, you know, number one, they give him a lot of responsibility at the line of scrimmage. You know, they gave him that last year, but it looks like he has more command this year in terms of changing plays or, you know, protections. I think he's done a good job of identifying, you know, problem looks and, you know, is able to get the Dolphins several times, you know, probably out of whatever play they're in. I don't know what they had called, but into a play that, you know, went to the weakness of the defense for, you know, significant gains. And so, you know, a lot of that credit needs to go to him for, you know, making those decisions. He, you know, does a good job of using all of his weapons offensively, the running game, throwing to the backs, the tight ends, the receivers, the slot receivers, the outside receivers. You know, he does a nice job of spreading the ball around, reading coverages. But I'd just say overall, you know, he's looks like he's much better at seeing the field and using all of his players in the passing game, whereas, you know, maybe last year I think there were times where it seemed like he was more, you know, locked into you know, either one side or one guy. Now, you know, I think his vision has definitely improved, his accuracy, particularly on the outside throws. You know, they throw a lot of, you know, outs and comebacks and plays like that right on the sideline where the, you know, receiver's just kind of getting his feet down as he's going out of bounds. So, you know, good timing, accuracy throws. You know, I've seen a lot of that from Tannehill this season as well. So I think he's doing a lot of things better. I mean, plus, you know, we know he can run and he's active and mobile in the pocket. So, you know, he presents a lot of challenges for us.
I believe that's what they call a filibuster. I think, yeah, you did. But it was some good stuff there. And, hey, look, it's nice to hear Bill Belichick say some good things about your quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. 347-347 to text in, 1-855-GO-FINS to call in. A couple of people earlier texted about Will Davis. And I said, where's Will Davis? Why aren't we seeing Will Davis? I mean, is it overly simplistic for me to say it's a meritocracy and, you know, when he's better than the guy in front of him on the depth chart, he'll be ahead of the guy in front of him on the depth chart? He's a rookie. He's learning. You know, we saw him active, I think, for one game early on in the season. Jamar Taylor's gotten back in the mix. He has been active the last couple of weeks. Davis hasn't. But, you know, with these rookies, you can't always expect them to jump right in. Obviously, it's great when they can. But if it's later on in their rookie season or even in their second season that they really start to contribute, that's great. But, I mean, yeah, like when Will Davis is ready, we'll see him. And until that point, I think he's just got to continue to work hard. He's got to continue to be patient. As a fan, you have to have that same approach.
We talked about it coming into the season through training camp. The Dolphins had the luxury of having two veteran corners. And now Dmitri Patterson has been hurt for the most part of the season. But Brent Grimes has manned down, has locked down that other corner spot. And Nolan Carroll stepped up and played, to me, my vision, he's played pretty well in that spot. It allowed the Dolphins to bring along the two rookies slower. Not a need to press them into duty at the defensive backfield. I'll throw Jimmy Smith in that as well. Ability to have depth, veteran depth. So you'd love to see the second round pick out there. You'd love to see our third round corner out there. Shoot, you'd love to see Dallas Thomas, our third round offensive lineman, get in the mix. But if they're not ready and you've got veterans who are ready and can contribute and help this team win, Just relax, fans. Just relax a little bit.
Yeah, when I agree with you, Jesse. I mean, if you want to unseat the guy in front of you, go out and you work your butt off and you do it. Otherwise, you know, he's going to continue to develop. And you don't want to put guys out there too soon. And, you know, injuries happen. So, you know, that's the reason why you have depth on your football team. And, again, you know, if you're able to come out and contribute, then you'll earn a spot on the football field. If not, then you'll continue to work, and the coaches will watch your progress, and when they feel like they want to give you a chance, then they will. But a lot of different things have to happen. So I think right now we're at a good position. We're getting some guys back healthy. And, you know, we're going to go out and win with the guys that we have. And until, you know, some of the young guys come in and unseed these older guys, then it's going to be the way it is.
There you go. It's not all that complicated. And look, you got Brent Grimes. And I hope he comes back next year, but he'll be a free agent, so we'll see. But he's not a guy that's necessarily going to be around in 3 years. He's later on in his career. That's why you got Jamar Taylor. You got Will Davis. Dimitri Patterson, really solid veteran. But you're thinking big, big picture, long term here when you draft these guys. And, you know, it's nice at times to be able to let them develop at their own pace. It's a lot scarier when you almost have to start that guy because there's nobody else there. It's nice having Grimes and Patterson. And even Nolan Carroll and Jimmy Wilson, who have done, you know, a lot of that stuff at times. And you sort of allow Patterson, you allow Davis to work to get better, you know, and you don't just have to throw them right into the fire. Ryan Tannehill, by the way, they've updated the injury report. It's a right shoulder. I guess they weren't specific about that earlier, so it's his right shoulder. I'm not worried about it. Not worried about it. I can't imagine that's going to keep him out of the game. That's for sure. Sign up for the Fin Club, then check back every Wednesday to find out what you could win from Win It Wednesdays. Register today at finclub.miamidolphins.com. We'll take a break when we come back, do some Chat's Choice, check in with Tristan, and get some of the questions from those guys over there. You're listening to the Finsiders on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
It's the Finsiders with your host, Jesse Agler.
Welcome back. Final segment already on this Wednesday.
So soon?
Yeah, it flew by.
I don't know if I use the word flew by.
Oh, come on. We're having a great time.
It's Wednesday. It's one of those days.
Got to get over the hump. Chat's choice. They're going to vote online at Dolphins.com what they want us to discuss next. Double Gronk or not to double Gronk? Tell you right now, that's not going to be the topic. I don't care if you all vote for it. I get 100% of the votes. We're not talking about it. Up next, Finn's commitment to the run game. After that, Finn's wide receivers versus Pat's DBs. The best way to beat Brady, Rishard Matthews, and the overall state of the Patriots. That's what they're voting on right now, and thankfully, the double Gronk or not double Gronk one does not have all that many votes. More than 30% want to talk about the best way to beat Tom Brady. It's, by the way, it's not that it isn't a good conversation to have about doubling Gronk. It's that we've had the conversation three times a show every day so far this week, and we'll have it a few more times tomorrow and Friday, and then on the pregame show on Sunday, maybe at the halftime show on Sunday, certainly on the postgame show on Sunday, and then probably a little bit on Monday as well as we look back at the game. So I don't want to do it again right now, but almost half the people in there want to talk about the best way to beat Brady. So let's talk about it. What you always hear from everyone is get pressure on him. Make him uncomfortable, especially up the middle. And you know what I'm excited about? This is going to be the first Dolphin-Patriot game with Ellerbe and Wheeler, assuming Ellerbe is ready to go and gets back out there, and that's not a sure thing. But I'm excited to see how or if maybe that changes the approach for the Dolphin defense, knowing that, you know, they've got a couple of these blitzing linebackers.
Oh, I think it'll definitely make a big deal. I mean, that's why we upgraded the linebacker position, not strictly to beat the Patriots, but to be able to cover tight ends down the middle, to be able to get more athletic, make plays, put pressure on the quarterback. And you're right, I'm hoping Ellerbe is healthy so we can get out there, because he's a difference maker on that team. They're a different defense. They're a more explosive defense. They're a faster defense when he's out there. And I think that's what they have to do. The formula for stopping Tom Brady was perfected from the Giants in those Super Bowl runs, was to get pressure, particularly in his face. You know, there's a difference between a classic drop back pocket passer like Tom Brady, and he has a little bit of mobility, similar to what Dan Marino had, but when you make him move, he's just not accurate. And I think when he gets hit a lot, he thinks he's been sacked 20 times this year coming into this game, he doesn't like that. He doesn't allow him to sit back there. When he can pat the ball, let his receivers run deep, do one and two moves out there, he's the best quarterback in the league. But when he's got to make that decision quick and he's worried about getting hit, he's not as good this year as he's been previously.
I think the key to stopping Tom Brady is not only hitting him, but it's also rerouting his receivers. You're throwing off his timing. One thing about it is when you look at Tom Brady in the pocket, he keeps his eyes downfield. And he has some mobility, whether it's and he has some pretty good lateral mobility, but he's concentrating on finding his receivers. He's using his eyes. So you not only got to get that pocket press in his lap, you have to come up on the outside, but more importantly, you have to reroute these guys and have him hold the football, because I think that those two things works hand in hand. If you're rerouting the receivers, he's holding the ball, which is giving our pass rush that extra second or two to actually get to him, to whether it's hitting him or whether it's putting that pressure on him. So I think think that, you know, both of those things work hand in hand. But either way, you have to make him uncomfortable and you have to make him hold the football.
I read an article today that suggested Brady, maybe for really the first time in his pro career, looks like he's starting to feel pressure when it isn't there. And that he's become that uncomfortable back there that, you know, and look, you see that from young quarterbacks all the time that, you know, he'll rush something or he'll throw off the back foot when he doesn't need to, when he has more space than he thinks. So maybe there's something going on. Again, it's just one article. I'm not telling you it's true, but it was a suggestion, you know, by a scout, you know, that I read today. And so even more so then, get in his face. If he's already starting to generally feel uncomfortable, you got an opportunity to obviously take that up a couple of notches.
And I think one of the big factors has been the receiving corps. In years past, if he hangs in there and takes a hit, he's got a lot of confidence that Wes Welker was coming down with the ball or Aaron Hernandez was coming down with the ball, so it was worth staying in that pocket. His guys are dropping balls left and right, dropping balls when they're not even being harassed by defensive backs. So you're not going to take that punishment for nothing if you're Tom Brady. I think I'm sure the frustration of all those drop passes for those young guys has been a contributing factor as well.
I think also the guys are not getting open as fast. You know, with Wes Welker, you know he's only going to make one move and he's coming out of his break. Well, he have guys who are stuttering at the line of scrimmage. They can't get off the jam. So he's holding the football and he's saying, hey guys, I need you to get open, because every quarterback has that clock in their head where they're saying the ball has to be out on this particular play in this time for the play to be successful. So when you have Amendola, who is not a Wes Welker, who is a Wes Welker type, he's injured. He does a lot of different things, but he is not a Wes Welker. So these guys are not getting off the ball.
Yeah, no, that's probably a big part of it, too. I should say also, we're talking about Ellerby Wheeler, the linebackers. I mean, if Cam Wake is able to up the play count a little bit this week, if Deion Jordan's able to get in there in those obvious passing situations, those guys can be a huge help. But remember, Ben Volen told us earlier, Pats at their best this year has been when they're ground and pound. Time for a final thought.
The fastest 2 minutes in the show.
This is exciting, Drayden. We've got a little bit short on time.
No.
And I know you guys both have good stuff, so please, get it going.
I just wanted to say thank you to, number one, Coach O'Keefe, Jeff Ireland for stopping by. I had a guy, and Mr. Ross, I had a guy named Ryan Bullock who I hosted this weekend, and Coach O'Keefe gave him a football. But more importantly, C.J. Spiller gave this guy a football as well. So he made Ryan Bullock's day. Thank you guys for making this guy's day very special.
Great job by CJ and the Dolphins. And I want to really give a shout-out to CCA, the Calvary Christian Football Eagles. We play our first playoff game tomorrow against LaSalle High School. We're 6-2, six straight victories. I want them to understand tomorrow night, seize the day. I was telling my son this, Troy. They're 6-2 right now. In 3 years of starting varsity football, I won 7 football games. And you never know when you're going to get back. They win 2 straight. They play at FAU. So tomorrow night starts our playoff run.
Good luck to those guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 5, 940WinsDolphins.com.